Praise the Lord. Today we are going to start a new series. And it's on the love of God. And we're going to hear some stuff that probably you never heard before about that. Because I really think that there are some misconceptions concerning how to get the love of God. And I'm going to show you and to show how to get the place in which you have the love of God. You experience it, okay, in a way that doesn't go off ever anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Thank you for your presence here and for your anointing. Lord, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's your presence and your Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. Thank you, Lord, that it's your word that give us the direction and give us the ability to connect with you. Let us, Lord, each one of us be able to receive from you, Lord, what you have in store for us. Let us be able to hear with our ears, to see with our eyes, and appropriate all the things that you have prepared for us, Lord, so that we may come into that fellowship with you and into that relationship with you that you always planned from the beginning. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for we know, Lord, that you are going to be ministering to us today, and we are going to receive from you, Lord, as the anointing of God is going to minister, Lord, life, eternal life to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, we looked at the way, you know, what happens within us when we are in different type of temptation, we are going to different problems and so on. Okay, today, you know, we are going to look at something that is, can apply that at the very end of it. Okay, how you actually overcome, how you get the victory whenever temptation or problems or situation come to us. And this has to do with God working in us, the power to overcome. Okay, now, let me read from James chapter 1, verse 12, verses that we read last week and before too, but it's much more than we had to put into it. Okay, so we're going to just ask the Holy Spirit to open up that verse and help us to make that connection that he planned from the beginning. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation or test, whatever you want. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has prepared for those who love him. Praise the Lord. For those who love him. See, that is the secret of victory. The us loving him. And we have to understand how that is the key to victory. Because, you know, the way to break through, there is no any other way. It's not because we want to break through. Because that is just self-centered. It's because we love him that we get the power to break through. And we have to understand how we get to that place in which we love him more than anything else, more than the things that we are going to get, more than the blessing he's going to give us. See, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, my soul, bless everything that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgive all my iniquities, who heal my diseases, who, you know, crown me with, over, you know, with loving kindness, you know, with all the other things, with, you know, satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. I mean, all these things we had to bless the Lord, and all the things that comes after that psalm shows us some of the things that God wants to do for us. And we have to understand that. Okay. But they come out of the love that we have for God. And when we talk about love, we have a stupid idea, because we get the idea of love from the worldly love. And God's love, the love of God, is completely different from the love of the flesh. First of all, it's unconditional. Doesn't matter how messed up you are. He loves you anyway. You have to get to the place in which you believe it, instead of believing religion that says, you know, oh, I made a little mistake, and he's there after me to punish me. It doesn't work that way. That's not what the word says. What religious people say is that. Are you following me? We have to just erase that kind of teachings and mentality from our mind, because otherwise we are never going to be able to love God the way he expects us to love him. You cannot love somebody that is after you to punish you. Because instead what you are is afraid. You are scared that he's going to, if you get too close to him, you are going to get zapped. How can you go to him? How can you have a relationship? How you can you open up to somebody that is going to zap you? There is no way. Doesn't make sense. Are you following me? So that kind of thinking, that kind of belief, that kind of doctrines should be dealt with, because these are the stuff that has been done for 2,000 years in the church. And it's not true. And the word shows very clearly that, all over. Or we're going to see more. Okay? First of all, let's talk about the word love. If you change the word love with value, the things you value most than anything else, that's what God wants from you. You have to care about the relationship you have with him more than the things you need yourself. And you're going to do that only when some things happen, because you are going to, your reaction is going to be determined by the way God made you. And God made you in a way that if you expect that he's going to get you and he's going to punish you, you're not going to respond properly. That's what Adam did. He didn't respond properly to God when God went to him and he was trying to resolve the situation. He just started blaming others, and he blamed God too. You want to know even something much more than that, than what he did with Adam. He went to Cain to try to resolve the situation. And the only thing Cain did was to be offended. And so he was cursed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know the story? He told you, you know, sin is there. And he just got offended. He had killed his brother. God was trying to resolve the situation. Why did he go there talking to him? The only thing he got, the negative reaction. See, that's what we do, in a way, when we make a mistake, when we sin, and we run away from God, because the way Adam did, hide himself, instead of reaching to him, going to him, because he's the solution. He's the one that is going to resolve it for us. And the word says it very clearly, and he resolved it from the foundation of the world. Before anybody sinned, he had planned the whole things already. He established all the laws according to which things are going to be done, so that even if when you miss it, he can fix it for you. And he showed us very clearly now. And it's, you know, now is really so evident with, you know, Jesus coming and the gospel being preached. Hallelujah. So let me go back. It's going to be difficult to keep on track here today. Because, you know, this is where God's power is coming down. It's going to come down. Because the truth brings people freedom, makes people free. Now, here says, I'm going to read the scripture again because I just focus this on the last word, love him. And that's what we want to get to. We want to get the place in which we love him and we can have a love relationship with him. And he has a love relationship with us, because there you cannot be a love relationship with anybody if there is no reciprocal. If you, and is that based on what? It's based on trust, it's based on valuing that person. Caring about that person more than other things. More, you know, just as much as yourself. Hallelujah. So, blessed is the man who endures temptation. See, this is connecting temptation with loving him. Breaking through temptation. When you're in temptation, doesn't mean just, you know, it's just overcoming it. And when he is being approved, that means you have overcome. You are not anymore in the enduring part. You have victory. Whatever that thing is. That means your reaction is the one of one that has victory, not the one that is defeated. See, your attitude is the victorious attitude. Be strong and of very courage, said to Joshua. And he says to each one of us. Okay. So, when he's been approved, he shall receive the word there, lambano. That means, you know, you're going to be able to take it. You're going to be able to take it because there is that love relationship. You know you can take it from him. Okay. We'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised. The Lord has promised to those who love him. Okay. So, his promise, the crown of life, that means the victory. What the crown of life is, the word there is Stephanos. Stephanos actually means, you know, the girl, the wreath, the things that were given to people that were doing competition, sport competition, and they were winning the competition, and they were given that wreath to put on to demonstrate their glory or their victory. So that is the sign of victory, okay? But we don't have one of these wreath that actually are perishable. They were made of parsley, you know, or other plants. Okay. They didn't last very long. These are imperishable, the way Peter says. Hallelujah. That does stay with you forever. Each time you break something, you have a victory, you know, that crown stays with you. That means, you know, this is, that's for now, you have the crown, but that is manifestation for eternity. See, our battles are not just temporary battles. We have battles that have a value that is eternal. That should put us in a completely different frame of mind, in which we are ready to fight the battle, knowing, okay, that actually the battle is not ours. He's going to provide them for us the ability to do it, to fight it, because that's what the word says. You know, there's no, we are not going to be tempted. We are not going to go through anything that we cannot handle, because he determines that. He controls that. He doesn't interfere in many other stuff because he has to be fair. But on that level, he does, and he will, because he promised that. And he's faithful, and he's true, and the word is true. And so he says it there. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the promise that he has for those who love him. Okay. Let's see, start getting some other scripture from other places. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who has fear has not been made perfect in love. So that tells us very important things. And then goes on and says, we love him because he first loved us. You see, that's the way it happens. You see, we love him because he first loved us. See, God cares about each one of us. Instead of using word against value, God values each person. Each one, doesn't matter, he loves everybody. And the love is unconditional. And he extends that love to us. And as we experience the love, we are going to love him back. You hear what I'm saying? He is taking all the time, and I'll show you already two times, with Adam and Cain. He does it with everybody. Everybody he wants to minister to. And he demonstrates and manifests his love toward them so that we can love him back, so that we can establish that loving relationship that he wants to have with each one of us. Okay. That means, we don't forget, God is a covenant God. He always, covenant is nothing else than a really close relationship of mutual support, of mutual caring for one another, of mutual love. Okay. So he wants to have that kind of relationship with us. And he's the one that always takes the initiative. Generally, you know, we go after God most of the time anyway, with few exceptions. When we need something, and we go and we ask him. And if we ask him in the right way, if we go to the right principle, and we are in the right place, okay, and we start realizing that he's the only source for us, for our victory, then he's going to come in and try to help us and start to direct us and start to work on us so that we can breakthroughs. We can have breakthroughs. See, the bottom line, the love that God is going to be developing in our heart is connected with the experience we have of God. Our experience of God determines the way what we feel about him. If we talk to God and get nowhere, anywhere, and we are always disappointed, we can go through the religious motions, but there is no love in us because we don't trust him. And there is no love without trust. You know, we love him because he first loved us. And we had to come to realize that he loved us. In not just one way, but there are many ways in which he loved us. Everything that he did it for us. We are his masterpiece, the way the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. And he cares about us even if we are completely off. It's like the father, we've got the pure prodigal son that is there waiting for us to come back to him. We had to get that vision of God. We had to get the proper image of God for us to be able to connect to the love. You know, you're not going to get to experience God's love going to a meeting and have a great time. That's not love. That's just emotional high. And that's not going to last much longer than when you get out of the door. And then you say, you know, probably you don't even get anything going there. But that's just even worse. Even if you get something, it doesn't stay because it's not the right love, not the love God wants from you, not the love that he's giving you. Are you listening to me? See, our idea has to be changed completely, the way we think about what love is and how it's going to be manifested in us and the way it's going to work, and we want something solid. The rest forever that is ever going to live ever, no matter what's going on with us. See, that's the difference between the love that people have when they're in honeymoon and when after 20 years that they're married and they love each other more than before. And it's a completely different feeling, but it is much more valuable. The one that is mature and rests and is not affected by situations we're in. Because there is a trust and a commitment on both sides. Are you starting to see where I'm going? I hope so. Because this is going to change completely, you know, your ability to come into that place in which you're going to be, for example, overcoming all temptations. You're going to get the crown of glory. Are you still with me? See what the difference makes. See why people lose the first love with God. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because that wasn't the real thing. Because they didn't understand what love is. So they had some feelings. Love is not a feeling. True love is not a feeling. It's much more than a feeling. It's a powerful force inside you that determines supernatural activity taking place. You don't get supernatural power by goosebumps. You don't get faith by goosebumps. If you get something, say healing, for example, you go out, you even lose it because you got it by goosebumps. It was just an emotional high. They can have a bit of power, but doesn't last. Emotions don't last. They come and they go. And if you go by emotions, you are always going to be tossed around and up and down and everywhere, depressed and so on and so forth, because you are not spiritually strong. You are fleshy. Because emotions are of the flesh. And love is not of the flesh. It's of the spirit. You cannot love God who is a spirit in the flesh. Are you listening to me? Are you getting what I'm saying. So we had to change the way we see these things. We had to change everything and to put ourselves in a completely different space if we want to get in with the love of God and have the love of God operating in us, because the love of God releases the supernatural power in us, the God us, because man makes us one with him. This is the unity that comes about because we are together. We are in unity. We are one spirit. And that's what love, true love, produces. The fact is, when that happens, okay, that introduces some very important things that change everything for us. Okay. The reality, the dimension in which you have to start living is a spiritual dimension, not a physical dimension. If you are trying to get the result on the physical, and we are not dealing with the spiritual, first of all, we are no good. Even if you get something, you lose it. The thing is, the spiritual dimension is the mother of the physical dimension. From the spiritual dimension, there is enough for power to change everything in the physical. Nothing in the physical does stand the power of the spiritual dimension. And God is a spirit. And when we come into that relationship with him, what happens? You know, that the power of God can work through us and be affecting and be changing and be transforming this physical dimension. That's how miracles take place. That's how the supernatural happens. Christianity is supernatural. If it's not supernatural, it's not Christianity, because Jesus operated in the supernatural all the time. Because Jesus' mandate to us was supernatural mandate. The signs shall follow them that believe. All supernatural things. And they demonstrated it because they started right away to do those things, and it worked. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. See, then we had to start, you know, understanding better how to be into that place ourselves. And we had to see the way Jesus did it, and the way this apostle did it, and the way, you know, other people did it, were actually manifesting that reality. The spiritual reality. Okay. And we can see, for example, the way Paul talks in many places. Okay. I've been Thursday teaching on the first chapter of Ephesians. See how much there is talking about that kind of things. But I'm going to go to another one, please. Okay. In which he talks more specifically in the type of topic that I want to talk. I started to talk in the series about the love of God. Okay. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. Okay. The prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians so that they may grow spiritually. Okay. What does it say? Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. See, the connection of all these things, you know, trust, love, faith, they're all together. Power. Okay. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, okay, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes in knowledge. That you may be filled with what? All the fullness of God. That's a mouthful. Amen? I mean, if we grasp this scripture, these verses. And if we start applying them, receiving them, understanding them, and experiencing them, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That seems to me is, but it's connected with what we said, being rooted and grounded in love. That's the source of all the, that's the concept holding together all the other things. I mean, scripture says, God is love. That by itself tells a story. His attitude, his position, his way of operating, everything. And we have to understand, okay, what that means for us. Not in theory, not theologically. The Bible is not theology. Theology is the projection, mental projection of what the Bible says. And when you make a mental projection, you always lose part. It's a spiritual thing, and we are together spiritually. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, let's get back here and just unpack these scriptures, these verses here that we've been talking about. Praise the Lord. So may Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. So you see, faith is a critical thing. Okay, we want the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, Christ being in us. Okay, through faith. We have to have faith. Faith means what we believe. What is in our belief system. Being rooted and grounded, you see, that's the way that faith is going to be there. By being rooted and grounded in love. So if we are not in love, and we are trying to exercise our faith, believing what the scripture says, it's not going to work very well. I mean, you are going to be an effort to do things, to push yourself, to make, believe something that you don't believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, and probably in some areas you experienced that. You're trying to get something to happen. And you're trying to exercise your faith, but never works out because you lose it. See, when there is faith, there is rest. Rest doesn't mean work. Man says, I have it. I already have it. Because God did it. I may not have it in the physical. You can have faith and not have the manifestation, but you know that it's yours because in the heavenly it's been determined already. God has established before. I mean, what it says about healing? By his stripe you were healed. So when you have faith, you are healed, even if you don't have the manifestation, because you know in the heavenly places that healing took place already. It took place for everybody. Everybody could, if they can receive it, if they can transfer it from the spiritual dimension to the physical dimension. Then you're going to be the manifestation. And that transfer takes place only by loving God. The overcoming, the test, the temptation. That's the key. Loving God. Love is not a feeling, is not an emotion. If you are born again, when you were born again, you experienced that love. The point is, you didn't understand it. Nobody that is born again understands very much. They are babies, and babies can't, understand much. You had to understand. You had to comprehend the word here is used. What is the love? You had to, the word there for comprehend is catalambano, which actually means to fully appropriate. If we don't understand what the love is, how can you appropriate it? You go after a feeling when it says the feeling is immaterial. The feeling goes and come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. So, being rooted and grounded in love, that produces faith. But to be rooted and grounded in love, that means that the love is going to be there. Otherwise, you're not trying to get love. That way, you have to be starting to see, starting to understand, starting to perceive the relationship between you and God. Are you still with me? Okay. So, then we may be able to, when I'm going to read it again, Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. That you being, because the faith is going there and Christ is in your heart, is because you are being rooted and grounded in love. I mean, Christ is nothing else. You know, like what God did through Christ has to be inside you and dwell in you and motivate you and work in you so that when that happens, it's because you understand what Jesus did for you. And you respond to that. You see, when we see the love of God, perceive the love of God, even minimally, the only thing we can feel like doing is responding to the love. I fully remember when the Lord gave me my first vision there, and, you know, the major component of that, I didn't know very much about the Bible or theology, but I sensed it, I felt the love of God in that place. And was so strong that I could do nothing else but say, I'm serving you from this day on. That's what happened to Paul when he met Jesus on the way to Damascus. He wasn't anymore the same person. That's being born again. My understanding, I didn't understand anything. And I had to be, my mind has to catch up with it. And only some of these things that I saw that time, you know, only more recently I even fully understood. Now I fully understand what it was about. Now, fully, that we may be able to fully comprehend with all the saints, I mean, this is God's plan. Everybody to come to that place in which we fully understand, we fully appropriate everything that Jesus has done. With all the saints, what is, comprehend, what is the width and length and depth and height of this love? Okay. What does it mean? What is talking about here? See, there is not one dimension only that this love is going to be manifested. It's going to be manifested in many different ways, with many different experiences. And each new experience that we have, the love is going to grow and become stronger. Because our trust and our connection and our relationship with Him is going to be developed even more. And with that, guess what is going to be stronger in us? Faith. Because trust and faith is the same thing. Because love and trust is the same thing. Praise the Lord. And then goes on to say, okay, you know, so we are going to come, when we want to experience the love of God, it's not just a question of a feeling one moment. It's having a series of relational connection in different areas with different impact, different results that are going to make us love God more and more. Each time you have a breakthrough, what happens? You are grateful. You start to see that that's the only way. You start to see that he loves you because he came through and he ministered to you and he gave you that breakthrough and there was another one and another one and another one. If we never have any experience, our religion is useless. Because there is no physical evidence, because we have no evidence of the fact that he cares for us. We had to manifest what the Bible says that he will do to us. Psalm 103, the first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, bless him with all our heart, because he forgave my iniquities, he healed my diseases, renew my life for destruction. I mean, and it goes on and forth. And we can see that. These are all dimensions of his love manifested toward us. And not just once. It has to happen all the time. Are you following? Are you starting to grasp what I'm talking about? There's a witness with you. See, that's the important thing. It's not good to talk about theory here. If we have to play religion, let's close the book. It's a waste of time. That's why Christianity is losing ground today, because there is not enough of the manifestation of the power of God. And it's mostly talking and preaching, and there are no results. Jesus, how did Jesus got the crowds going to him? He spent most of his time doing miracles, healing people, casting out demons. And he got crowds. And he used that to call people to see him. Even the people that didn't like it, they went to see him, because they were kind of see what's going on. They were trying to maybe put him down, but it didn't work. Because everybody was saying, you know, he does everything well. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So he says, you know, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You know, I mean, that's pretty funny. To know something that you cannot know. Why? Well, he's talking about two different things here. The word there, know, okay, is gnosko, that means experience. And the other one part, you know, is just talking about a different experience, just with your mind. So, you know, it passes knowledge, passes your ability to figure it out. But you're going to experience it. And it doesn't matter if you cannot figure it out, because you know that you know that you know, because you got the result and you made a difference in you, and it was a spiritual impact, not a mental impact. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How do we go? You see, the point is, I don't want to skip. I want to take my time. Yeah. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, are you expecting to be filled with all the fullness of God? I mean, that's the place you get to when you start having being connected with all the dimension of his love, all the aspect that he was ministering to you in different area, giving you breakthroughs and completely unrelated, but they all turn you on to love him more and more. But sometimes we start in the flesh and we continue in the spirit because we get indoctrinated by men. And when that happens, the results are going to end. And not only that, but we accept ideas that are not true, and then we are just going to waste our time instead of getting anywhere. And so we lose the first love. If we would, when we come to the Lord, be disciplined, be discipled properly, then we come into the understanding of what we got and the way God wants to work with us. And we will grow without losing the first love, but increasing it, getting it deeper, getting it stronger, getting it better. Praise the Lord. And the basis for all that, the basis for all that is the Word. It's not a meeting. It's not an anointing. So you can go on anointings and everything else. You go into place and you feel something and you think that's the love of God. You just respond into the atmosphere. You go out and you are in the dump like before. You know what that situation, what that shows you? That you have not met God in that place. Because when you meet God, it changes you. It's just the power is enough that is going to stay with you and you are going to be different from that moment on. Now you can mess it up, but it's going to take work to mess it up. Okay? So we better start judging things in a spiritual way, not according to the religious way in which people try to build up things that aren't there. Praise the Lord. We have to understand reality, what is real. Okay? What is real? God, okay. There are two dimensions, the spiritual dimension and the physical dimension. They all have their own reality. But the reality of the spiritual dimension is more real, is more true than the physical reality because that doesn't change. That is eternal. When the Lord has provided for the forgiveness of your sin, that is eternal. In the physical, you can go through in which you are forgiven or not forgiven according to the things that you do. But in the spiritual, if the things are aligned with what is required for there, approved by God, that's it. It's always the same. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. It doesn't matter if you get sick. This is just physical. The physical things are temporary. We should not look at physical things. Just look at things from above, not below. Why? Because the things below are temporary. The things above are eternal. So we have to go by the eternal things, not by the physical things. Are you following what I say? There are two realities. I mean, if you are sick, you are sick. It's not that you are not sick. But there is a deeper reality, a greater reality, which is the spiritual. This is by Jesus' stripes you were healed. And so the only thing you had to do is connect with God and allow that reality to come into existence in the physical world and transfer the power from the physical world from the spiritual world to the physical world so that you manifest it. How you do that? Loving God. So, We had to start someplace. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, everything that has to do with our salvation, that involves any satisfaction of all your needs, has to do with God, and the only way to get that is by faith. That means believing what God says, believing God, believing that God is faithful, believing that God is true, believing that the word is true. Are you still with me? Are you getting anything? See, we have to get to the place in which you don't operate anymore as people that are not connected with God, but as children of God, with God inside us, operating so that we allow that connection between the spiritual and the physical to take place, and miracles take place for ourselves and for others. That's the Great Commission. We cannot do it for others if we cannot do it for ourselves properly. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus said in John 6:63, you know, that the Spirit who gives life, you know, the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak to you, their spirit and their life. I mean, their spirit and their life, not outside, is inside you. As you believe them, then the life of God is going to be as born again believer, be coming up from your spirit and manifesting it in the physical. As you believe in the word, as you have faith in what God says. The thing is, sometimes we have a real difficult time to believe certain things because our experiences are so different, and we haven't had those experiences that make us love God and trust God and value His word more than the physical things that we can see and feel and experience down here. This is the way Jesus operated. That is the knowledge of Christ that talks about in Ephesians. No, experience things the way He did. Become more and more like Him. In the breath and depth and with, you know, in different dimension, and according to the dimension that you have experienced, you are going to be able to have the faith. To have. How do you get faith for a certain thing? Well, you got to the place in which you got revelation, you got understanding, you trust God, you believe God, you love God, you value what He said, you value His word, and it's going to be manifested. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. Okay. You know, when Jesus was resurrected, the disciples have problems about believing that it was the case. You know, it was true. He appeared to them, and Thomas wasn't there. They all saw him. Following day, Thomas was with them and said, "Oh, we saw Jesus." "Oh, I can't believe it unless you touch Him." Do you remember the story? Okay. I mean, you see, doesn't matter what anybody says. What you experienced before is going to influence what you can believe, what you can have faith for. And you better realize that. Because you have to do something about changing that if you want to grow, if you want to start manifesting some of your needs met. Jesus was kind, and his God is always kind, and he's going to provide opportunities. So the following day, when Thomas was with them, Jesus appeared to them and says, touch my hand, touch my back. My God and my Lord. Okay. That he experienced that. And so he believed at that time. Okay? But what does Jesus say? Thomas, Thomas, Jesus said to him, because you have seen in me and have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He was telling Thomas something very important. I mean, he was possibly called Doubting Thomas. He was just somebody that was going by his logic. He said, this doesn't make any sense. I can, you know, but the point is, if we want to progress in this love relationship, we have to believe what is reported before we even see it manifested. Are you following me? So how can we believe in something? Can we believe what everybody goes around saying? What people go around preaching? No, no way, because many things are inaccurate. Go to the Word and believe the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to bring you revelation. Not only that, pray for revelation the way the prayer that Paul did. No, give me all the answer. Well, if you give me, and not ready to believe, you're not going to get it. You're going to believe when you have faith. And to have faith is not just a question of reading and wanting to believe it. It's a question that your heart has received it. And you do it by going to the Word and start knowing that the Word is truth and is spirit. And they are alive. So there is spiritual power, and there is truth, and there is, you know, and it's reliable, and it's true, and it's not made up. And it's just as true as God is. And it's just as faithful as God is. So you start developing that, and you start doing how you do that. You start meditating and praying and spend time in the Word until the things it says, you start believing it. To the point that you experience it at the place of your heart, and then becomes easier and easier to believe it. But if you waste, you know, 6 hours a day watching TV, that's what you're going to get. What you have to do is spend time with Him, with the Holy Spirit, with the Word. How relationships develop, how become stronger. Never seeing each other, never talking to each other, never communing with each other. No way. There is no such a thing as a, you know, distance relationship. Well, the same thing with God. God is right there inside you. I mean, you don't even need to go out. You just had to go in. Hello? You can have an intimate relationship anytime, any place, anywhere. Because it's inside you. Close your eyes and you can be with Him. And you can be with Him even with your eyes open. But where your focus is, as you dwell in the Word, the Word is living and powerful. It's going to give you the understanding and the spiritual experience that you need to be able to love God more and more. You're going to start reading about, see, that's why Christ is the beginning. As you start appreciating and understanding what Jesus did for you, And you start having a relationship with what he achieved for you. Then you're going to know more and more how much God loves you. Because that was an act of love, if there is any. And that love starting to begin, it's the beginning of the other loves. Okay? The act Jesus did for you, giving his life, going through the suffering you went through, he did it for all the things, all the benefit that he has produced for you. You want to not let any of the Jesus' blood was wasted because you don't use it. Don't appreciate it enough. Praise the Lord. I think I'm a good point here to stop and to pray for people. See, sometimes I get carried away and I don't know the time because I'm not in time anymore. And I forget, by the time I finish, it's too late to pray for anybody. We are going to have time to pray for people. If you want to have that relationship, develop that relationship of love, true love with God, that doesn't go away, that stays with you forever, that motivates you to overcome any mountain, come for prayer. We pray together. Looks like you. Registers you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray in general and then I'm going to pray personally for you. It's revival here. But that's the truth. See, when the truth starts touching you, okay, you have to respond. Let me just give you a general prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your love. Thank you for everything you have done for us. And right now, Lord, we are going to pray together. We are going to believe for your anointing, your love, your breakthroughs. Lord, everything that you have prepared for us to be manifested in our life. So, Lord, that we overcome all the religious ideas and the fleshy ideas. Instead, Lord, allow, come before you, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. That the truth, Lord, may be able to change us and empower us, Lord, to overcome everything as we, Lord, receive the depth and the height and all the other dimension of your love. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.